today. Have 5 daiquiris.
You remember to do that.
Man, why did I have so many drinks? I can't remember. What's today?
October?
It's Nudie Magazine Day!
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
This is Pete Holmes. I'm a comedian. I'm with my boy, Will. You're listening to the Homemade Broadcast, because you're smart.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Base vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. So happy to be with you again. My name is Will Koontz, host of this here program. Heard every Sunday, 6:15 p.m. on Radio St. Pete, 10:15 Mondays. You can catch the replay if you missed it. It's in the archive, radiostpete.com/archive. And, of course, I encourage you to visit hmbradio.com for the podcast right in your pocket. You can get all the old shows, including the HMB sides, which is web-only content available only on podcasts and hmbradio.com. You can get James Bailey's podcast, my mom's favorite podcast. You can get the Dallas Cowboys podcast, and you can get more coming soon in talks with a few other people to get this network a-rolling. I hope you're well. I'm doing fine. We're supposed to have Thaddeus Russell on this week, but apparently he is sick as a dog, as he said in his Twitter message to me. So we're going to have him on next week. Booked Creed Bratton from The Office, one of my favorite shows probably ever. And my guest today said he never saw it, which is bugging me. We'll talk to him about that. Open mic was great, as always, again. 27 signups, which is a new record. And I mean, it was awesome to have that many, but also a little bit of a hindrance because it is Tuesday and people need to go home and sleep so they can get up in the morning and go to work. So we might have to talk about maybe capping that at some point or maybe starting earlier. I would love to start earlier if I could, but the thing about it is nobody, seems to be getting there at that time. So we'll see. I don't know. This podcast is brought to you by Sly Bar, 2061 Central Avenue, that's Angelo's. Slybar.com is their website. A lot of good beers, good folks. My personal hangout, not just because of the open mic is there, but it's just a fun, friendly atmosphere, and I enjoy it. So check them out, and Angelo's. SaintPizza.com, that's what I was thinking of, was the other website. 536 First Avenue North. Go grab yourself some pizza, a hoagie, salads, whatever you want. Soak up whatever booze you were drinking that night at Angelo's. So I guess since the guest is here, I won't go into my normal ramblings. We'll just go right to the guest.
I'll just ramble right along with you.
That sounds good. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, we can ramble together.
Jander Gray is here. Jander is a fellow comedian, I guess you could say.
Word.
Yeah, he's been, just let me know, he's been in the game for a year now, officially. You were on the show when I tried to do a live podcast.
Yeah, you, I, and Nathan Hart. You, I, and Nathan Hart. Grammar is strong with me, son.
That's okay. You said you're only running on 5.5 hours of sleep. So.
Yeah, I've pretty much been running on 5.5 hours sleep for, pretty much the last year, particularly.
So. Yeah. Yeah,
every once in a while, like once a month, I find that day where my wife's home, like on a Saturday, and I'll sleep for like 14 hours. That's the best.
Wow.
That's the best.
That's not good. That means
you feel like
you're
10 years younger when you wake up after a 15-hour nap.
I forgot to tell you, I think you know, but don't curse.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
I'm probably not going to adhere to that at some point.
Okay, and that's fair. We usually have
I will
one
probably
slips
slip, yeah.
One slips through, but that's okay. So, yeah, we did that one probably a year ago. It was super thrown together. You and Nathan were nice enough to come down there and help me out. I think Adam was doing the show at that time, too, and he couldn't be there on time, so he had to figure out something else. I would love to do that again.
Yeah, that was fun. It was fun kind of dropping in because I didn't know you or Nathan very well. Like, we just sort of all kind of knew each other, so that was kind of fun.
Mashed together. I mean, as far as doing a live broadcast situation, would love to do that. I just, nobody knows who I am, so it's hard to make that happen and get people to come watch.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm going to promote this, but no one knows who I am. Why am I here watching this dude talk?
Right. So I think it's a great idea, though, and hopefully maybe in the near future we'll do that. Maybe I would like to do another showcase, maybe, and then like the one we did at Creative Loafing in April last year. And then do a podcast before with, like, 5 minutes with each of those people that were on the show.
Right. Just like a musical chairs podcast.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
That would be confusing for the audience.
It would be. I don't think so, though, because I think there's ways of doing it where if it's something like that, like if they're all billed, so it's like these are the people that are on the show and there's a poster and everything.
Yeah.
I think it could be beneficial.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes it seems like if you have more than four voices on a podcast, it just sounds like chaos.
Oh. Well, yeah, but like you said, musical chairs, though. So be me,
just rotating.
This guy, and then, all right, goodbye to you.
So it's almost like an open mic podcast. You got 5 minutes. You hit them with the light.
That's it.
They do their talking.
Open mic podcast.
4 minutes, wrap it up. Tell me your life story in the next 60 seconds, and then get out of here.
We might be onto something here, Chandler. Yeah. I like that idea.
Yeah, let's do it. We could easily get at least 27 comics on one podcast.
Oh, my God. I couldn't believe how many people showed up to that open mic.
Yeah, it was pretty packed, man. It was a good crowd, too. But, it's hard for anybody to hang in and watch that many people.
I know.
I've kind of figured out over the last year doing this, you know, 2, 3, 4 times a week, whatever. Somewhere, I think the human mind can only reset for max 15 comics.
I think you're right.
At some point, their mind just, you just can't reset for this next guy. At some point, you just tap out. It's kind of exhausting to watch that many different people.
Totally.
Particularly if you see 2 or 3 people in a row that are awful.
Yeah.
It's just awful.
Yeah.
The audience is just like, okay, as soon as this guy walks out, we walk out.
Did you see, were you there for the homeless gentleman?
I saw he was there, but I don't think I saw him go up.
So I got there a little late, and I was trying to get everything set up, and Law and David walked up, put their name on the list, and then this guy walks up, and I thought he was going to ask me for money or something. He says, "What are you doing here? Doing comedy?"
Yeah.
I was like, "What's that? You doing comedy?" Yeah. Yes, we are.
Yeah.
He grabs the pen. Like, you're gonna do some comedy tonight? He's like, "Why not?"
Yeah, why not,
like,
dude?
Okay. Yeah. I didn't really know if.
Yeah, if you're homeless, go ahead and start hitting every mic in the city.
Yeah, you might as well.
Yeah, just do it. Yeah. What have you got to lose?
Literally nothing.
Yeah, you got any spare change?
Well, my joke
spare
was...
Spare stage time?
He had like all his luggage with him and everything. I was
like,
this next gentleman is on tour. He'll be performing down the street.
He actually had some nice luggage.
He did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was a homeless guy at first because I was like, well, that's too nice.
Oh,
with luggage.
When he got close, it was like a soft shell. Yeah.
When
he got close, you could definitely tell.
Yeah, I didn't get that close.
So I didn't know if that was going to be an issue with Slybar or anything, because I know they don't want to encourage
crazy people,
the homeless, to come into their establishment.
Yeah.
But he was, well behaved. He didn't drink.
Yeah, as far as homeless people go, I give him an A+.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah,
and it was concerning. I didn't understand a word he said during his set.
You are the Sir Galahad of homeless people, sir.
I think he talked about beating a woman at one point, which I don't think was a joke.
No,
but it was
not.
Still funny.
Yeah.
So it kind of worked out.
Hey, on the streets, anything goes.
That is a fact, yeah. But he was good. He wasn't good, but he was well-behaved and didn't get drunk and wasn't asking people for booze or money or anything. So,
hey, well-behaved at an open mic is the best you can ask from anybody.
That's right. That's
even
right.
Most of the other comics.
He said he'll be back. So I was like, oh, okay. I don't know. What do you think the over-under is on that? You think he'll be back?
Well, if he's alive, maybe.
I'm going to say no.
Is he alive? Does he have a smartphone with a calendar on it that he can actually keep track of when you're going to be doing it? He's yeah, gonna mark it on his arms. How's he gonna know? Because right. honestly, if I didn't have to take my kids to school during the week, I wouldn't know what day it was right now.
Yeah,
I wouldn't know.
I would imagine in that scenario too, you probably don't own a watch.
Yeah,
doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if it's Tuesday
you don't
or
have to
Wednesday
be
to that guy, right?
Right.
Yeah, well, maybe. I mean, I'm sure you get to the point where you're like, oh, the soup kitchen's open this day, and Will has Sly Bar tomorrow, so.
You keep track of it by right. other events. Yeah, it could be. Well, if he comes back, he is more than welcome to.
Yeah.
Like I said, I was a little hesitant, but.
Who knows? He could become the greatest of all time.
No, that's definitely not going to happen.
No, probably not.
But he needs to enunciate better in his words and actually learn how to talk on a microphone.
Though that's probably a common problem among the homeless.
And probably beginning open micers in general.
Well, absolutely. There's several people I can't understand a word they say.
Nice, good catch. I like that. Congratulations.
Yeah, that's the perfect way to do that because everyone knows what I said, but I didn't.
Right.
Didn't do it.
That's true. They got the gist.
Give about this, the quality of this show, ladies and gentlemen. So,
Jander,
you've
been
doing my best.
Jander Gray is joining me today. He's a comedian in the Tampa Bay area, also a podcaster as well. You started a podcast recently?
Yeah, I started a podcast. I have no idea what I'm doing with it, and it's fun.
Join the club, man.
Yeah, it's actually kind of fun. Like, people have been giving me some feedback as far as like what to do with it and things like that. And I'm just doing it. It's fun.
What is the – do you have a schedule that you follow or just kind of whenever?
I was trying to record piggybacking off of Dunedin Brewery's open mic and record either before or after because I live close to there. So it was pretty easy to pull two comics. And, then it's fun. We get to go out. We do sets together. We hang out. And then we go do a podcast. So that's what I was kind of trying to do. But I'm scheduling them further ahead now. But
do you do them from your house now?
Yeah, I do them right from my house.
Yeah. You built a nice little studio in there, I saw.
Yeah, I kind of took my home office and kind of arranged it up, got my mics all set up. But still don't know what I'm doing on the tech end as far as uploading and all the technical jargon. Like, I put in my iTunes submission, and it was denied. And they sent me, seriously, like a 12-page email of, your podcast submission was denied for any of these various reasons.
Oh, really?
Like, 12-page document of legalese technical nonsense that I'm like,
the part with I had trouble with was getting the show card the right dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
Is that maybe could it be
that very well could be. I'm pretty sure I got that right because I'm actually decent with Photoshop and that kind of thing.
I wonder why it could be then, because they don't care about really content. You can kind of say whatever you want.
They probably just don't like me.
No, that can't be it.
No, it's probably true. I'm kind of a horrible person.
Are you? No, you're not. You're like the sweetest guy
I've
ever
probably
met.
Probably not. Oh, that's thank you.
You're a sweetheart.
I don't know. It's well, you never know if you're actually a nice person, right? I mean, I guess you do if you're like doing charities and stuff. I did catch myself the other night though. I was hosting an open mic, and I kept going to the bathroom after the show and like washing my hands. And I was washing my hands, going, "Man, I got to wash my hands. I don't want to get all these comics sick. I don't want to be that guy."
See?
And then that's what dawned on me. So I was like, wait a second. At no point did I think, I don't want these loser comics getting me sick and me getting my kids sick. I'm just thinking about you guys.
See, that's what I'm saying. You're a sweet guy. You said about charity. Charity doesn't mean you're a nice person because a lot of people do charity
for tax
things and just to make themselves feel better to be like, see, I'm not a terrible person.
Yeah, look what that's done for Bill Gates. If Bill Gates didn't give all that money away, he would be right next to Martin Scorsese right now.
He's not giving it away now, though. That's,
is he not?
This is the thing about – oh, is it, maybe he is. I know that when Buffett and him die – all their entire fortunes going to charity. It's like, you could cut half of that now if you wanted to.
Yeah.
That would be cool. You could do some damage with that.
You never know. You might want to sit on that if everything really goes
$8 billion? What do you need $8 billion
well, Putin's probably got more than that, so you might want to...
You might want to
be able to fund your own private army in case Putin rolls over here and just takes everything over.
That guy is mystifying and also frightening.
He is frightening, but he is darn sexy, half naked on a horse.
He certainly is. Yeah. I like how he's kind of taking the reins on this ISIS thing, too. He's like, don't worry.
I haven't paid much attention to that. I used to be like a really big news hound, and just in the past 2 years, I really just kind of just backed off, man, because I feel like it's always the same. Like, it just feels like you're constantly bashing your head against the wall to get the simplest point across.
Yeah.
So I kind of just tapped out, just backed out.
I'm still very fascinated with certain aspects of the news.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, politically, at least.
Politics. Yeah. I'm trying to back off politics a little bit. I listen to more... I can't get my news from, like, one of the news organizations, meaning your networks, because you get their side of the story. And I always think it's funny now. I don't know if you've noticed, but people post these from websites that are so biased. Mm-hmm. And they're like, see?
Yeah.
Look at this. And it's like thinkprogress.org
right.
or Fox News.
Yeah, the confirmation bias is out of control.
Holy moly, is it ever.
Everybody just like, I have friends on Facebook, mostly relatives who I can't unfriend, who are just, you know, if I don't like to identify with either side. I really don't. But if you made me take a test, you would put me in a liberal camp.
Sure.
For sure. But I don't consider myself a liberal, but I also don't consider myself a Republican. But I see people on both sides doing that confirmation bias nonsense. Mm-hmm. And it blows my mind when I see them sharing these things, because I'm like, do you obviously not see how easy it is to shoot that argument down that you're throwing at me right now?
Yeah.
I mean, it's obviously not true.
Yeah, they're always cherry-picked, like, anecdotal things that people find.
Yeah, very much so, yeah.
And people have problems with, like, seeing patterns.
Yeah.
It's like, give an example, like, you say something, I don't know, anything, and they're like, oh, yeah, well, my aunt was a working mother, and she was a very successful lawyer. So there goes your point, whatever that point
was.
And it's like, okay, I guess I'll pack it in because your aunt... was a superwoman.
Usually people politically on Facebook discount my ideas because they'll say stuff like, I didn't even have to curse to make my point. I'm like, I didn't have to curse to make my point either. I just did.
Yeah, because it's
fun. I just tossed it in there for a little bit of extra punch.
Yeah, it's a little spice of life. Yeah. I fight with my stepdad, although we don't fight anymore. But he is so entrenched. I feel bad for him because he is so entrenched in his beliefs and where he sits that we've almost gotten a fight a few times over certain things. So now we don't talk about it anymore. But I feel, you know, it's like I get blamed. He's like, you got the Koch brothers in your ear. It's like, God damn it, can't I have an opinion on something?
Right.
Do you think that low of me that I'm going to let the Koch brothers decide for me? Like, I've done I think I've done my research. This is what I found. This is what I'm tending to believe in my gut. Can't that be good enough? Why does it have to be somebody whispering in my ear?
Yeah, I think, that's the go-to whenever you have a conflicting political opinion with someone. It's, that's the saddest part about politics. It's truly an important thing, but it is so divisive, you can't discuss it with people. Like, you might want to, but most people just not able to hear your point. As soon as you say something real conservative or really liberal, they just write you off. And the wall comes up, and they're not going to listen to anything you have to say. It's just over.
I took one of those political spectrum tests not too long ago.
I wasn't aware they had anything like that.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. It's real. It's long. It takes about 45 minutes to do.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
But no, at least you know where you sit.
I'm pretty sure where I'd fit in already.
I was surprised, though, because I thought I was somewhere, and then I ended up being pretty much right in the middle. Two notches in the libertarian circle.
Right.
But pretty much right in the middle, which I was happy about because I feel like that's where you need to be.
Yeah, that's a good place to be.
Because if you're too far one way.
Yeah, I really would dread finding out that I was one of those people that was just so deeply entrenched in something that I was unwilling to see the truth.
Yeah.
Like, I never want to be that kind of person.
Yeah.
Like, I like the idea of living my life in such a way that nothing I believe I'm... There's nothing that I believe personally that I'm not willing to give up if I get new information.
Being able to change your mind, that's important.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean...
Open to the idea.
It occurred to me as a kid, like, everyone, you and I, anyone listening to this right now, believes something right now that is fundamentally incorrect.
Probably.
Right?
Yeah.
And some of them will never walk away from it. There's this weird thing that happens with people's faith and their politics and their morality where they're... it becomes part of who they are, so they just don't want to give it up.
Yeah,
like it it'd takes be losing them forever. Something.
Yeah,
like my wife used to be a vegan. And now she's on a paleo diet for like the last year, which is the exact opposite of being a vegan, basically. Yeah. And I'll make salads, and I'm like, "Honey, you want a salad?" And she's like, "No,
I've been eating salads for years.
Yeah,
I've had enough salads." Yeah.
But she flipped because she got new information, and
that's always one of the things that bugs me when people criticize politicians too. Politicians are politicians for a reason.
Yeah,
but they will get mad at them. Because they're not consistent on a
yeah, the thing. Whole flip-flopping thing
flip-flopping.
Was disastrous.
That,
yeah, that became a thing probably is more damaging to American politics than anything that's probably happened in the last 10 years.
And that was, I guess, Bush-Kerry.
Yeah, that was Bush-Kerry, yeah, for sure.
But I like that. I like when they're like, I got some new information, and I changed my mind. Like, that should be okay.
But yeah, that
should
be
fine.
Guys
are from the 40s that are like, I don't think Negroes should eat in the same restaurants.
I've
been consistent on that. It's like, well, he's been consistent. It's a terrible idea, but at least he's consistent.
Being more in the middle, I feel like I can say that's a conservative thing. Because there's a thing about the people who are really conservative that I've noticed is they're really entrenched in tradition and being this steadfast rock. Like, they almost have this perception of the world as though the world were a static thing. Instead of this thing that is constantly in flux. Like, they want the world to be 1950 all the time. But it's not.
I don't know if that's true, but I will say that there's probably more ideals in the conservative party, like the gay marriage thing. And that comes from your belief in God,
I think. Yeah, that's definitely a religious thing, holding that whole up.
Right.
Well, it's not holding it up anymore. But they're not giving up on that anytime soon. They're going to be fighting that for at least 20 years. We're
going to
be
like
hearing anti-gay marriage arguments for 20 years.
It's done. I mean, but that's the thing.
The argument's going to be there forever, though.
But they can't do anything about it. That's why
they won't be able to repeal it. But
I think a lot of people are like afraid of Cruz or Trump getting in or something like that. But you can't overturn. I mean, gay marriage is here. Now, you can be against it for your own beliefs. That's fine. That should be okay.
Yeah, you don't have to do it.
Exactly. Yeah, but, I mean, you can't make a law against
that.
That
would be the best, if we get Bernie in there, and Bernie's like, no, you have to get gay married.
Oh, my gosh.
Just, what?
I'm trying to think who
That's
I would gay marry now.
Yeah. I would definitely gay marry a dude who was not gay, like me,
yeah.
if I was forced
That's
to.
That's a good idea.
That would be. We're really just roommates, but legally we're gay married.
You have to marry a gay guy.
We sleep in different beds. Okay?
Like the old school 50s, each got a twin-size bed with a coffee table and some lamps in between.
Yeah. That's what might happen if the crazy kids growing up on the liberal campuses get into power in 15 years.
Oh, my
years.
Gosh. This is
everyone has to do a year in the military, a year in Congress. Everyone has to be gay for a year. Just play all the bases. That way, when you go out to the world, you've experienced it all. There's nothing wrong with that. Let's do it.
Oh, there's a lot wrong with that. But,
we shouldn't have to be in Congress for a year.
There's a fundamental belief in equality that we are all equal to certain extents, but it doesn't exist in nature. The equality. Some people are better at things than others.
Yeah.
So there's this fight towards everybody. We should get chicks, 90-pound chicks, to be firefighters.
Yeah.
And that is just, it's not right,
that's,
I don't think.
Yeah, that's silly.
It's setting us up to be at the, what do you call that, the middle bar. Everybody's just adequate instead of having some people excel at certain things.
Yeah.
It's just dragging everybody
else
down.
Well, I get where, that's the pendulum swinging back kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like right now we're going to do that, right? We're going to get a 90-pound firefighter chick, right, that can't bench 60 pounds or something, right? She's going to be a firefighter now. But maybe 10, 15 years from now, after everybody feels like, okay, it really is equal, we tried this, that just doesn't work.
Maybe then they'll get it.
Yeah, people are going to die.
Yeah.
People are going to die for people having silly beliefs. Biology is important.
Yes, and it exists.
Yeah, and men are physically stronger than women, despite what Anita Sarkeesian says.
That woman.
She's infuriating. Dumb and a prime example of someone who is living in a confirmation lost that word.
Confirmation
bias. Yes. Bubble. That woman is stuck in there. She just cannot seem to see anybody's point but hers.
There's a couple of young ladies that I follow on the Twitter, which is my ex-girlfriend's mm-hmm. friends, and a couple of them are super into her. Because yeah. I used to date a 21-year-old not too long yeah. ago, and I'm 31, which is super creepy on my end. I acknowledge that, but it's not happening anymore. So,
Lesson learned.
But they really enjoy her, uh-huh. and I've been pretty open in my criticism on Twitter.
Well, you know, I can see why people gravitate towards that, because I get where she's coming from. Like, it makes
sense.
Yeah. I get where she's coming from in, okay, what she is saying is not very well thought out. It's not very well understood by her. And that's what I hear when I hear her talk. But I appreciate that she is fighting for something that she believes in. I just don't appreciate that she's unable to see the criticism and understand the points where she's very clearly wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, one of the best things about YouTube is the thumbs up, thumbs down on YouTube, they're almost always correct. Same thing on Netflix. If you see something on Netflix with 2 stars, it's booty. It's booty. If it's got 4 stars, if anything on Netflix with 4 stars is probably pretty good. Probably pretty good. Same thing on YouTube. You put your opinion out there and it's all downvoted, you're probably an idiot.
Yeah, so she gets a lot of downvotes is what you're saying.
She disabled all that. Right out the gate.
Yeah.
She couldn't take the criticism.
Right.
And she of course went with the victim. You know, I'm a victim of these mean people on the internet.
Right.
Rather than
it's a conspiracy.
Rather than understanding
her.
The truth that no, your ideas
just a
are
bad
dumb.
Idea. Yeah.
Your ideas are dumb. That's really what we're going with this. Your ideas are dumb. You're fine.
Well, they had her. She spoke at the UN, which I couldn't. They're entertaining these people with these terrible ideas and kowtowing a lot.
They're really propping up people with bad ideas.
That's really
a nice trend right now in our culture, is taking people with bad ideas who are essentially fighting for good causes. I mean, essentially what Anita Sarkeesian is fighting for is, equality for women. She's just picking things that aren't true. She's fighting for points that are obviously factually incorrect.
She won a long time ago.
Well, she's definitely won politically, because people are listening and people are changing things according to her policies that
she's picked up the fight after the fight was over with.
You think?
Yeah. I don't. Can you name one right that men have that women do not have?
Yeah, I think you're right on that point. I think the playing field is pretty even, really. I think about it all the time. Every woman in my family makes more money than every man in my family.
College?
Every one of them. There's not one woman in my family that's married or single, whatever, that their spouse, male, makes more money than them.
Yeah.
It's just not. I mean, man jobs in this country were vanishing fast in 2008. I used to have a man job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't see Anita Sarkeesian fighting for the rights of women to work at sanitation or to be, crawling in sewers or plumbers or anything like that.
Or fighting for women to have to sign up for the draft.
Yes. Well, there is some that are doing that.
I'm sure there are some.
I'm all for it. Go get them, honey. I don't want
to
do it.
That is definitely an equality thing. I don't think, personally, I don't want anyone to have to sign up for a draft ever, because I don't want to see any wars. But if you're going to make men do it and we have an equal, fair society, it's only fair that the women should have to do it too.
Right.
That's perfect fairness. It's a no-brainer.
Yeah, if you just need bodies, go ahead. Yeah. I don't want to trudge through I want to see the French countryside, but I don't want to do it with a machine gun on my back at any point. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to be the guy that, like, packs people's lunch.
Make the peanut butter and jelly crust cut off.
I'll take the bitch jobs.
Cut diagonally.
In the army, please.
Yeah.
I'm actually pretty good. I've got 5 years of experience of packing lunches, so if they start digging deep and recruiting like 40-year-olds.
That's true. You got glasses too. I think that's a slight on your record too.
Yeah.
So if there's a lady with 20/20 vision out there who wants to go wield a machine gun,
I'm all for it.
I'm totally for it.
Yeah.
You do have kids.
I do. I have two kids. Yeah.
That's weird, man. What do you think about that?
No, it's not weird. It's good. It's good.
It's weird to me. It's not.
Yeah, it might be weird to you. Yeah, because when I came in, I was admiring your bachelor pad. I told you that. I was like walking through here, and I was like, man, I'm like having flashbacks to when I was like a single guy, and I had my own place, and I could just put stuff wherever I wanted.
Yeah.
There's no nice smelling soaps and pretty pictures on the wall.
I got pretty pictures on the wall.
No.
No,
no, like no, they're fine. I'm just teasing you. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I like being married. I like having kids. We did it all on purpose, so it was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't accidentally get married or accidentally have kids. Both planned, which was important to me because I know I was definitely a surprise kid.
Me too. Well, they say I wasn't, like,
yeah.
But I'm pretty sure
I'm pretty sure most people are.
Yeah. They just do that to make you feel better about yourself. Yeah, yeah.
You were a pleasant surprise.
We had you, so we would stay together.
Yeah.
But you're divorced. Yeah, I know. It didn't work out. Oh, yeah. Okay. Good.
Yeah. So, yeah, I like having kids. I have a 3-year-old boy, 5-year-old girl now. So.
And you're doing the stay-at-home dad thing, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah, it's kind of the way just things have to work out right now with the way we're going about things because my wife travels a lot for her line of work. So there's pretty much no other way we could do it.
Well, it's kind of works out for you because you're finding success in the comedy scene. You're leaving here and you're heading to Snappers and hosting that through the weekend.
Yeah, yeah, Snappers, Palm Harbor, good times. Long Island Mary, Michael Mack, me.
And Jander Gray.
Probably a guest set or two. And the food there is really good. So come on out, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've been doing this a year, and it's pretty good, man. Yeah. I mean, you're getting – is it paid work, I'm assuming?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's – I mean, that's great.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. I didn't when you start I think everybody that thinks about doing comedy probably just thinks about it for at least 6 months before they go out and do it.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, I know. True. I did. I know when I talked to Nathan about it, Nathan was the same way, that he kind of sat around and wrote for a few months and scoped him out. And, it's tough. It's heartbreaking.
It is.
It's mostly heartbreaking. But you kind of get used to the heartbreaking part of it. Because, like, you go out, you have expectations that, okay, this is going to be fun, and it's not.
Yeah.
It's just painful. People look at you like you're an idiot, and you're just like, ugh. This was funny yesterday.
Yeah.
Yesterday, this was really funny, but you guys hate me.
I think the best part is when you're done and you set the microphone back in the mic stand and you get to walk away.
Yeah.
That's the only real, that's like having an orgasm. But
well, if the set went well, maybe.
Even if it goes bad, like at least you're done. I mean, you don't have that anticipation of waiting. It's like trying to have sex with a girl.
Yeah.
That's what it's like. And then you finally get there, and even when you're doing the deed, you're still nervous.
Yeah.
And then as soon as you're done, you're just like, done.
Yeah, yeah, there's definitely a pressure release.
It's usually for sure. 33 seconds, as it is with comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah. 33 seconds in.
I've never done that short a set, but close. I think I went probably 8 minutes.
Really?
Yeah, I was, yeah.
It seems like it goes by, when you first start, that 2 minutes feels like a half an hour.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I used to describe it to everybody as like, okay, here's what it's like to go up on stage. You walk up there, then you black out, somebody sets off an M80 next to your head. You open your eyes, and there's a bright light in your face, and people hate you. That's what it's like to do comedy.
Yeah, and then you
good
go to
luck
the next
out there,
open
kids.
Mic.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you go to another one. Yeah.
When did you what open mic did you do your first time?
My first time was at Post Dinner Conversations open mic in Tampa.
Is that Sunday nights?
I don't think they have theirs.
I can't remember
what it was. They've shifted around several different rooms. I don't think they have one active at the moment, but they probably will again.
That's the thing with open mics is they tend to be run by comedians,
yeah.
And comedians are inherently lazy people,
yeah.
And they don't promote the shows, and they usually just start them so they'll have a room to do a few minutes in.
Right.
And I think that's where my mic is a little different because I don't do any time.
Mm-hmm.
And I do the legwork of promoting and making sure it goes well.
Yeah, you are promoting. You are good, getting good crowds. You're obviously getting a lot of comics. But if you get the crowds, you're going to get the comics.
Yeah.
That's pretty much how that goes.
Right.
I've seen some guys want to start mics, and I'm like, they seem like they're worried about getting comics. And I'm like, Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
If you've got seven people in a room, every comic will come.
James Bailey had, I got really mad at him because he had, I love James.
Yeah.
You know, he does the podcast with me and everything. He's had that room at Mix,
yeah.
Which was a great little room. I went there for the first one. Cool room. I was not expecting because it's on 16th Street, kind of where near where I work. It's like kind of more of a, I don't know, I guess it's a neighborhood too, and there's some scattered businesses.
Yeah.
But I was amazed when I walked in. I was like, whoa, this place is awesome.
Yeah, it was really good. That Mick guy was really into it.
Yeah.
Just live streaming, taking pictures.
Yeah.
It looked nice.
If it would have been utilized better, and I said, look, here's what you need to do. And I was like, it takes about a half an hour a week. And James said, oh, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, it's not going to go well for you then. And sure enough, I think he did a couple months, and it was defunct. Well,
I don't think that bar is there anymore.
It's not. That guy went out of business, too. It's a weird spot.
Yeah, it's a tough business all around. I mean, it's tough enough to keep a bar open, much less an open mic in a bar open.
Yeah, and
doubly tough. Because even if you're doing well, that place might go out of business, and then you're really...
That's true.
Yeah.
That's why I'm really sunk. I feel lucky that I got to be in Sly Bar. They're pretty established now, but they were brand new. I think they were 6 months old when we started it. So I was lucky enough to get hooked in with those guys.
They seem like they've done really well.
They are, as far as I know, but usually it takes a couple years to turn a profit.
Well, I only know that because I looked at their books.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
I went back through them.
Sneaking through the books and sampling all the beers when Joe wasn't looking.
They're going to be doing food.
Yeah.
Which I don't know how I feel about, but... Because a stage, it used to be up top, you know, and I really like that for me because I could hide in the back and not talk to anybody.
From a comedy perspective, I would not like that because that is challenging doing comedy to people who are eating.
Yeah.
It is really challenging because, like, I want to make you laugh, but at the same time, I don't want to see you choke and die on some wings.
And that sub looks delicious. Yeah. I want you to enjoy that.
Especially doing open mic comedy while people are eating because a lot of open micers are rude.
Oh, yeah.
And they will just yell at someone for eating wings during their set.
That
person's just like, I just wandered in here. Why are you yelling at me for eating chicken wings?
I like Law kind of called out some people. I should have taken it down. I got there late. What can I tell you? And nothing was set up, so I kind of rushed to set it up.
Yeah.
And then I get stuck, you know, chatting with people, too.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be like, hey, sorry, I got to go. And then start doing stuff. So I should have taken the games need to go. Can't have games. Need to have all the TVs off, which I've been pretty good about. But, yeah, no Jenga. You don't want people playing Jenga right in front of the stage,
the
which really isn't even a stage.
Right.
Now just on the ground.
Yeah. Which, by the way, is a great move.
You see, some great people move. Like it. I'm not a big fan of it, but I'll get used to it.
I am a huge fan of it.
I know you're more direct with people. You have their attention more.
I tell you what, the other night at Sly Bar was definitely the best set I've ever had at Sly Bar.
Yeah, you did do really
that,
well.
That disconnection of being far away from people, I think depending on a different style of comic and different style of material, I think maybe it's not a bigger deal for some people. But for me, for sure, I could never connect with anybody from the Crow's Nest.
See, I almost kind of liked it, though, because I felt it was kind of like the stress factory of St. Pete.
It is nice to have experiences like that where you're challenged to, you know, you get that kind of diversity. But it's also nice to go to open mics where you can do well.
Yeah,
that's true, too. That's really fun. It's really nice to go to a place where you're like, oh, I can actually work here for sure and not have to wonder what other weird factors were contending with me working on this joke.
I just
thought
it was...
Was it that the TVs were on? Was
yeah.
it that people were playing pool? You know, it's so many factors when you're trying to figure out how to do this with what is happening while you're up there.
It's a tough room, like, even now, even with the stage being on the ground and the disconnect for... I don't know what it is. It's just the people that go there. I know it's a very progressive city, too, so people are hesitant to laugh at things. One of the girls did a rape joke not too long ago. And nothing. Wouldn't give her anything.
Yeah.
I was like, it's a girl. Come on. So it just depends on what you joke about, I guess.
That's
I don't know.
Back to progress. Rape is still wrong, even if a woman's raping a man.
Well, I think she was
or
raped.
Another woman.
I think she was raped.
Oh.
But
well, then that's just a downer.
It is a little bit, yeah. I was talking, I think Joe Rigo.
No
was,
wonder they didn't laugh.
Yeah.
If it's just depressing.
I brought that up, good. And Joe was like, I think it was just a bad joke, maybe. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, maybe. That
yeah,
could be
there's
true
a
too.
Solid chance that it's just a bad joke.
There wasn't even an awkward chuckle, though, or anything. Or like, yeah. Oh.
Well, sometimes even an awkward chuckle is just because it's a terrible joke.
Yeah, but that's what
like,
I'm saying.
You'll hear people laugh sometimes, and they are not laughing at that comic.
That's what I'm saying, though, is like usually you at least get that. You get some sort of groan or something. And just
groans I will take if I kind of wanted it.
Yeah.
Like, because there are definitely jokes you can have where you almost want to elicit that response
sure.
a little bit. You want to push them a little bit.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's fair.
You just don't want to push them too far. So, like, you know. I'm sure, you know, running that open mic for the last year, you've seen plenty of awful open mic or Hitler jokes.
Yeah, lots of, and now it's a lot of Trump stuff.
Yeah.
That's really big now. People like talking Trump.
Yeah, topical. Topical is tough, man. Everybody's tempted to go topical, but if you're like, you know, if you're an open micer, a comic, and you're out doing this all the time, it's so tempting. You want to put your two cents in and your perspective of something topical. But at the same time, you go out, and there's 20 comics going up, and 17 of them have a Trump or a Caitlyn joke.
Yeah.
You just kind of hate yourself for trying to tell your version of it. So you just don't do it at all.
But I guess you kind of have to do that because some
you
are going to be
try.
Better than others. I mean, you got to know if it's going to work or not. And if you do get laughs out of something like that where people are doing the same things over and over, oh, I can keep that one. That's a good one.
Yeah, yeah. If you've really, really got a strong take on it and it's really good, it's going to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time with topical stuff, it's usually not very strong. Very rarely do you hear anybody come. I mean, people do. It happens. You know, people that are, you know,
Twitter's
professional
good for that.
Comics and really understand how to make those things work, like we're all working toward.
Yeah.
Like, you know, mostly you go to an open mic, you're not going to see, you know, the vets at the open mic are maybe three.
Right.
3 years, 3-year-old comic.
Yeah.
You know,
those are very rare.
Those are rare. Most of us are first year, second year.
I used to invite Matt to come out.
Yeah.
And, He's just started replying, not even like not replying, just saying no. And I was like, okay, I just won't invite you anymore. That's fair enough. I don't know where these people practice at, though.
He'll come when he comes. Well, I think at that level, I mean, that you're talking about Matt Fernandez, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's probably on stage virtually every night somewhere
during
the show. You might be surprised. Well, I mean, like you said, a lot of these comics don't promote.
Jander.
You know, yeah.
Do you want to stay and do extra time?
Let's see how much time we got. Yeah, I can do another 20 or so.
Okay, let's. We got to wrap up here, but give out your social media and all that where people can find
you. I'm at Jander Gray on Twitter, Jander Gray on Facebook, and you can find me.
You can find them, folks.
Jander Gray on YouTube.
That's all you got to do is go find them. So we're going to move over to the web extended extra versions. Check out hmbradio.com. Check out the podcast. Hashtag HMB Radio. If you go to iTunes or Stitcher, you can find it there. Or, of course, HMBRadio.com. Like the Facebook page, Facebook.com/ HMB Radio. Hotel Mike Bravo Radio. I'm on Twitter, home_made_man. Instagram, same thing. Snapchat, the homemade man, all one word. If you want to send me pictures of your genitals or whatever else weird stuff you're into,
ooh,
I'll take a peek. I don't mind. Let's see what you got. I'm single, so hey, you never know.
By peek, he means hard, long study.
That's right. I think this is going out on Valentine's Day. So happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
Yes.
I hope yours is better than mine.
Enjoy your penis pics.
I will. All right, join us.
You're going to get flooded. I'm sending at least one.
All right, very good. See you over at hmbradio.com for the HMB sides.